Okay. This is actually kind of a joint presentation between myself and Steve Eisnagel. Steve has a better handle on Africa than I do. So he's got some shots and some things that he wants to say. Steve, you might also want to give us just a quick comment on Italy as well. So with that, we're going to turn it over to Steve. And when he finishes, then I'll take my turn. Come on up, Steve. Give him a hand. World-renowned traveler.
Okay, well, Lord's Day evening, Gary DePaulo did a great job talking about Italy and the things that went on there. For those who missed out, Italy, we were able to have, on the Lord's Day that we were there, we had about an 8-hour Bible study with around a dozen Filipinos in Rome, just down the road from the Vatican. On our way there, Gary had told me that the train would be really empty on a Lord's Day morning, you know, not people not going to business and stuff. We got on and it was packed, standing room only, and we're trying to figure it out. And just about the time we got to the Vatican stop, it emptied. You know, so, but we continued on, and we had a great study there. Around, like I said, around a dozen Filipinos, and several of them were of Church of Christ background. Did have some Catholics in there, and it was very good. A lot of interest, a lot of good questions. There's the lady that Gary's been studying with, Leah, has really good foundation that Gary's been working with. And then there was another young lady that got involved in it named Anna that was pretty much kind of one of those kind of people that drives things and kind of keeps things moving. She was the one who had invited the Catholics to it. And when we had a study a few days later, several of us got together. There were about four. She also invited somebody else to that study. So pretty kind of a go-getter kind of thing. So they have been continuing to meet on Lord's Days because their big question was, what do we do? There's no Church of Christ in Rome. What do we need to do? And so Gary and I were able to give them an idea of how they could start meeting together, taking Lord's Supper together, studying together. And so I believe they've had about three or four of them that have been meeting together since then to go through those things. And so that's good. Gary's continuing to study with Leah, answering any questions. So that was a really good time. And I actually had an opportunity to do a little sightseeing. Didn't intend that. You know, that wasn't why we went there, but it was really great because in Rome, they have a Colosseum. And many of you know what took place in the Colosseum. So I actually have quite a few, a large number of pictures. I don't know how they turned out, but of the Colosseum. And it was pretty, you know, Gary and I had an interesting time because at one point there's one place where you can actually be standing where it's like you would be standing in the arena, on the floor in the arena of the Colosseum, you know, and you're looking up and around at all the stands and just kind of imagining what it would have been like and the impact. You know, it's not exactly like the movies. You could see how Christians really would have quite an impact on those around. But anyway, that's what kind of went on, what went on in Rome. The main thing Mr. Wilson wanted me to work on tonight is just Ghana, kind of the state of the union. No, the state of the things in Ghana and kind of where things are at. So I'll attempt to get this thing going. I emailed him my pictures. This is also the first time I've ever used it. Okay, first time I've ever used a digital camera and practically the first time I've used a camera. It's because I'm a non-picture taker. But we'll see how they worked out. Oops, wrong way. Let me see. Actually, where is a word in here someplace? Sorry, we're going. Oh, there he went. We'll get back. Thanks. That's yours. I'm trying to go the other direction. Can you get me going the other direction? Back. There. That was. Thank you. Now, I don't know how I'm going to get back to the beginning of this. We'll give it an attempt. counterclockwise. I'll attempt. This is also the first time I've used one of these. This is, you can tell? Really? Amazing, Stan. The state of things in Ghana. You know, Jeff, God thing started several years ago, a couple decades ago, and without fully understanding a lot of things. And so you've got people who've been around for a long time, guys like Awura, but you've had a lot of what we would call the older guys, or sometimes Jeff will refer to them as old school, because they got in on the good, Christian church doctrine. He actually had things about baptism, right, immersion, and Lord's Supper every Lord's Day, those kind of things. But some of the old guys, they kind of got those things figured out. But as Jeff met Mr. Wilson, started studying the principles of new creation, actually seeing what the Word of God said about that, and has gotten excited about all those things, some of the old guys have had a difficulty changing gears. And so throughout the years, you kind of watch different ones either fade off, lose their effectiveness, just kind of start, they just don't seem to get it. There are a few exceptions to that. You know, that's one of the things that's been a little bit obvious as the years have gone on, because it's been now, 1994? 95 is when you first went there. 94 was when he first came here. So in that time, 17, 18 years almost, during that time, 17. Am I right with my numbers? Is it really? No. Hold on. 12. I added a 5 in there somewhere. Added 5 years to it. Good. Shoo. About 12 years. Yes, and I am. Yes, I do supervise in school. And work with math, too. But 12, in that 12 years, you've had, initially you had quite a few that faded off, and then gradually some others that have just kind of faded off because they're not being transformed. They're not getting into the whole transformation process. And so you have a few exceptions to that. Guys like a guy named S.Y. Omani. He was one of the speakers at Family Camp. I don't know if he'll show up in here and Mr. Wilson's stuff or not. But S.Y. Omani actually had a chance to preach at Family Camp. He's still understanding things. He's still moving with things. Not as rapidly as some others, but still going with it. Guys like Awura Bwachi and his wife and 2 daughters there. And I think there's another one on the way, is what they told me. But Awura, with S.Y. Omani, and then also with Awura, I tried to think about this as to what has kept them moving with things. How have they been able to grasp the concepts of the new creation, whereas others didn't? And I think what it's come down to is, in S.Y. Omani's case, he lived in Kumasi with Jeff for several years, 2 or 3 years. He was right there in Kumasi working closely with Jeff. In Awura's case, he was about 5 miles down, 7 or 8 miles down the road from me. And he'd come in frequently. He worked in the school for a while. We studied together. He did a lot with me. And even now, Mr. Anthony and Mr. Boateng, the 2 guys that are kind of handling what I was doing, Awura still comes in. He still is involved with them and is supporting them in what they're doing. So I think what you see going on is their direct contact for an extended period of time with either Jeff or I is what has enabled them to be able to make it through all that, to be able to figure things out and to really see it in practice. A lot of times, maybe the other guys couldn't see it in practice. They couldn't see it up close and personal. And so having that time that they were able to spend, like with Jeff and I, could do it. You have other guys, and now I've got to get back. I'm moving in the right direction. Got to point this way. Right. I'm going the right way this time. That's where I wanted to end up. This is Mr. Anthony. Some of you have heard me talk about Mr. Anthony. This is Mr. Anthony. There are other guys there that aren't the old school that came in. Anthony came in right around 1995. little later, we'll see one of Mr. Boateng. He also came in around 96, 97. 97, 98. Right in there. And so, guys that have been grasping this and been... And again, Anthony worked closely with me. Was with me a lot. Mr. Boateng, he's gone with me on more Bible studies than I can count. Both of those guys, if you were to sit down with them and talk with them, I think you'll be hard-pressed to find somebody who has a better grasp of what, if we want to talk about new creation, faith versus law, worship, glory, any of those concepts. You want to sit down and talk with them, they'll discuss it with you intelligently. Why is that? I think it just came through lots of contact with me in this case. But you have guys, hopefully this will work. Oh no, wrong way. That's not one of the guys. There you go. Guys like Stephen Jantua with his daughter Zoe there. Stephen Jantua is a guy that's in Kumasi. I don't know if you can tell. These are actually fairly young guys. Mr. Anthony and Stephen there are both in their 20s, late 20s, I think. Is Mr. Anthony 30 yet? He's around there. Late 20s. And then mid-20s in Stephen's case. Pretty young guys, but they really understand what's going on. And these are the guys that are really moving things forward. If you had been at family camp, you would have seen Stephen a lot of times doing a lot of stuff. Whether it was translation, leading songs, he's just actively involved in keeping things moving. But if you sit down and talk with him, again, he understands what it's all about. Another young guy like that is Caleb Lontam, and his wife Lemissi and Josiah there. Again, mid to late 20s, involved, and in the difference too with Stephen and Caleb are those are guys who were involved in the Christian school. Stephen Jantua actually was the first graduate of the Christian school there in Ghana, Christian education. Caleb, don't know if he graduated, but he was in it for quite a while. Again, these are guys that, because of being closely working with either Jeff or myself, through that, they were able to sit down and to take the time to really grasp things. I think a lot of times, some of the others, because of not having that time, not having that personal attention, and even if they did get the personal attention for a while, it's the day in, day out. That much time spent with somebody who really understood it is what's making the difference. Okay, let me get... there's Mr. Boateng. I was mentioning him earlier. And he, again, somebody who really understands. And in his case, again, he wasn't in the Christian education, but involved closely with me. Now, where do I want to go? Oh, sorry. I'm getting it figured out. With one of the things, I guess, that we have figured out is how much of our own personal energy it requires. Whether it was me when I was there or Jeff, as he's still there, how much of his personal energy it requires for people to really get the picture and to really understand. But as they do, then they start putting back in. Many of you might recognize Brittany Hostetter. With her is Nancy Juma. Lived with us for many, 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 many years. And then one of her students. Nancy is one of those that went to the Christian school, started when she was 12, ended up until, I think, 20. And then immediately, when we left, there were holes that were left there. Anthony and Mr. Boateng are filling the holes I left. Nancy's filling the holes that Jennifer left. She's teaching speaking English right now in the Christian school, by her choice. See, if you're looking at why is Ghana moving, what's really keeping things going, because it is going, it is moving. If you were at family camp, there are 300 people or whatever, and You know, Mr. Wilson's been going for several years, and family camps have been around 300 to 400 about every time. Usually a different 300 to 400, though. They're in a sense, you've kind of had a weeding out process. A lot of, you know, if you look at how it was several years ago to how it is now, completely different. The attitudes, the knowledge, the understanding of things just keeps going up. And what you have is the people who do understand it are applying it, and they're working with others. They're getting in there and they're teaching others and then get involving themselves in it. So Nancy's involved in it. She's involved in working with others. But somebody who, having spent many years in the Christian school, has the concept of putting back. What can she do? What can she put back to keep things moving? Some others that have, and I have to limit it to Sunyani, just because that's where I spent most of my time after family camp. I spent most of my time in Sunyani. My pictures are Sunyani. But same thing would apply to Kumasi, where Jeff's at. Pretty much you have a few areas where things are really well understood, and then it just kind of goes in. You got your circles, just like Jesus had his. Okay, so this is another young lady, Gladys. She's still a student in the Christian school and has been for several years, I think since 1998, so she's been there for quite a while. I went in, and this surprised me, but Lord's Day morning, there's a children's class. Who's teaching the children's class? Gladys. Anybody tell her to? No, this is what she wanted to do. This young man, Timothy. Timothy's 17. Just got immersed this past, a couple months ago. I think it was November. And he's leading the songs in the assembly. Still a student in school, but leading songs in the assembly. He's also, let me go the other way. Hey. There we go. He's also teaching another class. Lord's Day morning, teaching the children's class. I don't know. Help! That's what I need is help. It's okay. I'm done with my pictures anyway. This is my last one. If you're asking me what is the state of things in Ghana, I would say it's going really well. Moving forward, but what if it's really dependent on anything, at this point in time, it comes down to the Christian school. If you see the those who are really actively that understand what the Word of God's talking about and are actively putting it into practice and looking for others, it comes down to either those who have graduated from the Christian school, have spent several years as students in the Christian school. You know, I could have named a lot of people in Kumasi. I could have talked about Godwin, who's married to Gloria from Michigan. He's another one. Graduated from a Christian school, and what's he doing? He's now at Atia, and he and Gloria are kind of running the school in Atia with a little help from Jeff. I could have talked about Atta. Atta wasn't actually in the Christian school, but he's helped with it a lot. Jessica would be his wife. That's Jessica Osebre. And she also graduated from the Christian school, is working in it. And they're actually helping with boarding students now. And with their new son, Jeff just sent me an email, said that Jessica had a baby on, I think it was Friday morning, early Friday morning, little boy. And I think his name is Zion. But that's the ladies' information part. but that's what's really making the difference in Ghana. Without that, the concepts would still be kind of floating out there in a nebulous realm. But it's through the Christian school. So if Jeff ever gets here and he's, you know, gung-ho and excited for Christian school, there's a reason for it. That's what's making things that are actually going to last in Ghana. And the people who are coming out of those are looking at what they can put back in. They're looking for where they can plug in and opportunities that they can serve and do things too. So it's pretty exciting to see how things are going. And by the way, Sunyani didn't collapse while I was gone. Since I've been gone, they're going strong. And you can begin.
It's exciting, you know, that the test of whether you do the job is what happens when you leave. And, it's great. And I'm excited to hear about the Christian schools and stuff like that. It was something that I encouraged Jeff in 1995, you know, because I said that will make the difference. And took him around Montana and showed him the Christian schools. And it's what makes the difference for the future of the church. So don't ever forget that. Get to our part of the trip. We landed in Accra, and this Adolf there, you need to pray for Adolf. Adolf's a good guy, but sometimes he feels like he's struggling financially, and he wasn't even able to come to family camp because of it. He was there to help us. He's kind of Jeff's guy that he needs there in Accra, so that'd be something to pray about. Loading our bags in for about a five-hour taxi trip. On the way up, I just caught this scene. I can't remember the name of that ridge. What's the name of that ridge? Abajifi. Yeah, and so this is actually a ridge that goes along, and it actually forms a natural barrier where the Russians then built a big dam that made Lake Volta, which is was at one time the world's largest man-made lake. That supplies, by the way, all the electrical power for Ghana, behind that ridge. This kind of gives you a typical scene here. I thought it was kind of interesting how they're blocking traffic on this road with the truck tires. We arrived at the Hofstetter residence. Christopher is really excited and wide awake and having a 4 o'clock in the afternoon meal. There's Jill Christer. She's wide awake also. And Brittany's getting into the chocolates there. Before we go to Atia's 20 kilometers or so down the road. This is where the family camp is. The church actually owns property in the village of Atia, which is a real benefit. They've put up a building there, part of which is a Christian school. And it's also big enough to where they actually hold a family camp on those grounds. And I can tell you the difference between holding the camp on the grounds of the church is contrasted in the middle of the village of Atia. The difference is mega. And so praise the Lord for that. They had their Christmas programming, still see the shepherds there, and we had a few live goats involved out of the village. It was pretty good. We had the opportunity to just share a little bit with them there that evening. And then the next day in school, it was the last day of school before break, and Laura Swift had kind of put together a little program where they actually had them, the older students in the school, they all had to learn each other's favorite verse of Scripture. And they had to go through the students alphabetically and then name what that student's verse of Scripture was and then quote that verse of Scripture. It was kind of fun. They had a little contest. And Jackson, he was the big winner. He was 12. He was the youngest participant, but he came out the one who won it. He's Atta Osabri's brother. And he's actually an American citizen. He was born in America. So he has American citizenship. When he gets older, he can come to the U.S. That was kind of a fun time. The kids did a good job. It'd be really interesting sometime to put our genius crew up against these genius crew and on some things and see how that works. And then we were going to have the Christmas program in Kumasi. And so they decided to have it in the courtyard of where Jeff's house is instead of over where the church normally meets at the house next door. See the basketball hoop up there. And they got it all set up really nice. And then about an hour before the program, kind of a torrential rain came through and just dumped all over the thing. I had to hustle out there and try to save the equipment, the electrical equipment stuff. Gordon had it all set up perfectly, but of course the rain undid that. And so, they kind of jimmied it together to get it in time for the program. And we took some time then to speak to the kids. Kids had their program. Christopher spoke, did a good job speaking about a Christian home, how important that is. Parental involvement in kids' education, did a nice job. I spoke on the importance of the one individual. We had a video clip of some of this, but I wasn't able to get all the technical expertise on my learning curve quite enough to get that put in there. But you can see the children all lined up over here. They have uniforms in Kumasi. I don't think you have uniforms in Sunyani. Is that correct? Yeah. Some of the schools do and some of the schools don't. It's nice to see a lot of the village schools being able to get going here. This is Margaret with Jill. Margaret's story is kind of challenging. She was, I think it's a matter of public knowledge that she was raped. And let's get back here a second. And she's Godwin's sister. And, the parents, of course, the guy who raped her, he got off, paid a bunch of money to the parents. The parents took the money and ran, so she's going to have the baby. And, that's about it. And so she's a young lady, just really sweet, also intelligent, dedicated. She's somebody you want to pray for, because you can imagine what kind of a challenge it is to go through those sort of things. There's Steve preaching at family camp. Steve had the opportunity to preach in the dark. And I think that's KK translating back there. And, of course, KK is pretty dark anyway, so this is a pretty good challenge to get this. Once again, Jeff has Steve do the opening message usually, and Steve does a great job of firing him up and, using illustrations and getting the camp off on the right foot. Really appreciate that. makes a big difference. Setting the tone for a lot of times is so critical. Here's Jeremiah working with Gordon and some of the other guys. This is over in the geek section. This is where they're making sure that the amplifiers and stuff like that are all working. And modern technology is pretty cool. I mean, Jeremiah had an iPod, basically. And some of the songs that he wanted to play, he just plugged them in the iPod, hit the button. And so he got this iPod, blaring through, 40-foot speakers. And, you could hear it all over the village, see. The technology makes a difference. I mean, sometimes you think about, imagine 300-plus people who are up to 100 yards away at family camp trying to hear the speaker without amplification. See, sometimes you just forget how important these things are. It's nice that the village does have electricity. Otherwise, you'd have to use a generator to do this. But so these guys, and I always appreciate what I call the backroom boys here, because what they do is really important as far as making everything work. And sometimes it's the type of thing that can go unnoticed. So I appreciated those. I hoped also to have a video clip of the Kokomo boys doing a rap song in English that they wrote. It was pretty good. One of these days when I get my technological skills up, I'll put that on here for you. They did a good job. Reese Thomas from Missouri was there, and he carried some of the preaching load. Jeff preached a message. S.Y. Omani, I really appreciate Brother Omani. He was a lot of times my interpreter in 1995, so I got to know him pretty well. And he and I were able to have a couple really good discussions at the family camp. Reese Thomas and I had a couple good discussions. He thinks that the devil isn't working anymore. And I'm trying to convince him that the evidence is overwhelming that he is. And also some discussions on evangelists. Of course, Benoy, he has his promotion stuff up there, the Gospel Glory for India. Just in case anybody in Africa wants to contribute to the cause. But in fact, Abby, which we'll see here shortly, she's going to be going to India and helping out there. Actually, she's already there. There's Keziah from Helena, Keziah Evans. And she had some challenges in Helena, and so they packed her bags one day and shipped her off. And so she's a part of the Hostetter household right now and learning discipline. And I was able to actually have some good talks with her. Keziah has been one of my favorite kids for a long time, and she always gives me a hug, and she didn't fail this time either. So, here's Jeff preaching, and KK is interpreting. tree in the background there, kind of a special tree. Miss Christner drew what that tree looked like by memory. It's pretty amazing what she can do. Here's Jessica looking pretty pregnant there, and Atta here, and who's this here? Is this
Esther?
Esther, yeah. And then in the back here is Travis Taylor from North Carolina. He's been spending some time there, and will be there finishing out the school year. He's from Greenville, North Carolina. Attends something called Christ Church in Greenville, and the books are actually having some influence in Greenville. There's a lady named Connie Gibbs that actually spent some time with Jeff, and she's been teaching and teaching a lot of ladies, and so a lot of work in Greenville being done. So there's a lot of stuff happening out there. This is Alyssa Sears. Alyssa's from Missouri. She came last year when her brother Brent was there. Both Brent and she got immersed. Background was kind of a non-instrumental Church of Christ. They were immersed very, very young. And after Jeff studied with them, they both got immersed. Basically, at this point, Dad's kind of disowned them. So I'm pretty interested to see how that works out. This is Gifty. Gifty is Atta's sister. Is Gifty an American citizen or is she Ghanaian?
I think she's Ghanaian.
Okay, she means. She grew up, spent quite a bit of time growing up in America. She's been over in Togo. She's kind of majoring in French, is I guess the best way to put it. So she has to spend a year in a Francophone country. Francophone means speaking French. And so she speaks French pretty well. And she'll be one that we're working on kind of working to get the ACE stuff set up in French. Here's Laura Swift. Laura's spent quite a bit of time in Ghana. She flits in and out occasionally, but she does a good job, does a lot of behind-the-scenes work, and very involved, and it's really good to see her finding a spot where she can really do some productive things for the kingdom. She's getting ready to leave, come back to the U.S. By the way, she immersed her dad into Christ here, I think about a week or a week and a half ago. Pretty exciting. Of course, here's Stephen and Kukua and their baby, Stephen Jontua, that Steve Eisnagel mentioned. Again, very, very, very top shelf young Christians. They'd match up with anybody in the world as far as understanding, ability to communicate and understand. Some of the local life is there, just to let you know that you're still in the tropics and instead of the place where the snow flies. Here's Abby here. You know, Abby and her sister Lima were Muslim, okay, and they were in the Zongo. And when Jeff saw Abby when she was, I don't know, what, 9 or 10 years old, something like that, and she was basically dying of tuberculosis, Jeff basically brought her to his place, got her to the United States. I think she spent some time in New Jersey, underwent some operations. Even to this day, Abby is kind of bent over, and she has to walk with crutches. You'd probably have a hard time keeping up with her over the long haul, however. Alima then has come to live with the Hostetters and, of course, well on her way to becoming a Christian. She's just a beautiful girl. She's about 15 years old right now and very helpful. See, it's a real blessing to see what could have happened. These people could have been Muslims instead of on their way to heaven. See, just everything that happens for a reason. You don't want to forget it. This is Amy Morris. Amy's from Virginia, and she ended up spending some time working with Jeff. This is Bruno. She got married to Bruno. Now, Bruno's from Togo, and he speaks English really, really well, but he's more fluent in French than he is in English, as well as Ewe, I think, is the local language of Togo. But anyhow, they're working in Togo, working with a guy named Kwame Hammer, one of Jeff's first converts. And probably really the future of the congregation is going to be with Bruno and Amy. They want to get a Christian school started in Togo. Togo's French-speaking as a trade language. And so we need to have both a combination of French and English. French for that area, surrounding area, but the English so that they can interact with the Christians and the preaching and stuff like that goes on in Ghana. And Nigeria, which is English-speaking and has about 120 million people, is not very far away. So the things that we're thinking right now is both French and English in that Christian school. It's going to be a major undertaking, and really going to need your prayers on that, and going to need some real teamwork among the Francophone folks in the audience here. This is Atta. He's engaged in a high-level conversation with the out-of-town visitor. Lord's Day morning, you know, we were going to leave at noon on Lord's Day. And so Atta approached me the night before and said he had a series of questions. And I said, I'll tell you what, let's both try to eat breakfast early. And so we did. And then I met him outside. We spent he had some really, really good questions. But we weren't able to finish. And so then we went on to camp and finished the discussion there. Once again, Atta is a Ghanaian, but he was really raised in America. And so he understands a lot of things. And he's, once again, a very, very super guy. You just appreciate the work that the Lord's doing, the leadership that Jeff is providing, and so many positive things that are going on in Ghana. This is Jonas from his Cocon country, along with his mother. And I'm not sure which relative this is. Jonas, actually, he lived with you guys, right? Yeah, for what, 5 or 6 years? 5 years, yeah. See, once again, you know, the type of leadership that he's going to be able to provide. I think he's going to take a nursing school thing that Sherry Dingman's running right now. We're praying that that all works out all right. But again, a very, very fine young man. Pray for him. Here's Atta and KK leading songs. Like, see, the way the tents were set up, see, it was spread out over quite a bit of distance. So, you know, the song leaders had to kind of really work the crowd, you know, to keep everybody involved. And, you know, when they get the tree songs going, you know, everybody fires up. We headed for the airport then. We actually had to leave at noon. Jeff hadn't quite finished preaching yet. And so we're in the Accra airport. Christopher actually took this picture. He had the longest arms, and he held the camera out there. You can see the flash off the window behind us in the jungle. And, of course, so we left there at night, flew to Dubai, Dubai to Jakarta, Jakarta to Singapore. And so in Singapore, Christopher's on it again. I thought it was interesting that, you know, Singapore's Muslim, you know, and of course we get on Emirates Airline, which are Muslim, you know, and they wish us all Merry Christmas, you know, and getting to Singapore, this is actually a Christmas tree back behind there, so we had our picture taken. Singapore Airport's actually kind of a cool airport, so. And then, now, was this in Singapore or was this in Manila? It was in Manila. Okay, I thought it was, but I just couldn't remember for sure. We actually kind of got a chance to get out in the afternoon and take a little bit of walk. So we're entertaining each other here, but trying to remember. Some of us been up for, you know, 24 hours plus. Steve Doty and flew in that night. I stayed up to meet him. December 25th for me was a long day because we got into Singapore at midnight, and then we flew to Manila that day, and then I stayed up until Steve got in after midnight. So I was up more than 24 hours straight, and cause I didn't want Steve to come in and, you know, have, you know, think that there's nobody there. I mean, I've come into airports before and have nobody there, or, you know, you think somebody's going to meet you and not. And so I thought I'll be up waiting for my buddy Steve. Next day we took this picture before we headed for Lawag City. This is where we stayed. We kind of there is a place down the road from Dante and Alma's. Alma's been connected with an outfit called Phil Rice for a long time, and she just recently is finally getting her retirement done. And down the road about 100 yards is kind of guest quarters. And so we're staying in the guest quarters. Christopher's, of course, got his map out looking at the island of Luzon. Of course, Manila's here. Luwag City is way up there on that, and we're just getting settled in. Dante spent that night with us. He stayed with Mikkel. Christopher and Steve and I stayed in the same room. And I talked late. Christopher and Steve had already gone to bed, so when I went in, the light was off. And I didn't know that there was a sheet underneath the pillow because it was, you know, it was dark. And the fans were on my part of the bed, so it was really whipping me. So finally, I just ripped the sheets off the bed, and the sheet off the bed, and wrapped it around me as best I could. Because I didn't have my luggage. See, one of the things I always carry with me is a sheet that's kind of sewn together like a sleeping bag. And that way I can just slip into that sheet and I can toss and turn and do all the stuff I do at night and have that sheet stay. Well, I didn't have that, so it was, you know, kind of a desperate situation for me. But hey, we made it. And then the next morning before breakfast, Elmer comes through. Now, Elmer's a Christian in the church there at Batak, and he has done construction in the past. But he makes more money delivering bread. So this is his motorcycle, and he's out there on his route delivering loaves of bread to people. And so we're having breakfast. Guess where the bread came from? And this is Dante and Alma's kitchen, and we're all kind of sitting around there. They kind of have a thing that spins in the middle where you can get your Filipino sausage. Believe it or not, there's rice available in case you want rice for breakfast, rice for lunch, rice for supper. You know, rice is there, and and our mango juice, so we're good to go. We go down to family camp. Some of the first guys I run into are these guys from former Pentecostal preachers from Apayao. They had been up to Dingross for a preacher's training session and then come on down to family camp. Ephraim Martinez there on the left, a very sharp guy, has asked me some intelligent questions in the past. And I'm pretty excited about the progress, it's going on up in Apayao. When Steve Doty and I go in April, we'll probably spend a couple days up in the rain up there with those guys. they were putting up kind of big tents. Probably 50 or so Filipinos are going to sleep here for family camp. So we don't want anybody complaining about quarters here when we have our family camp over Labor Day weekend, sleeping on the grass and men and women, and I think women on one end and men more on the other. And of course, people sleep every available bench, everywhere. There's, like I say, almost 200 people at the Filipino family camp. So they were everywhere. This is Romel Vivit. He's still in his riding clothes. These two young people here were immersed. I'm not sure if it was when Mikkel and I were there or where Gary and I went. Might have been when Gary and I went. I can't remember for sure. Do you remember, Gary? Maybe it was 2 years ago. Anyhow, these are two young people that were immersed in. She's 23, I found out, and I think he's 21. So I always worry about their being too young, but a lot of times they're just a lot older than I think they are. And here's another young fella. Romel wanted to make sure that they were introduced to me again. And I did remember their faces. I couldn't remember their names, but I did remember their faces. One of the things I do try to do is remember, people's names everywhere I go. And sometimes it's a challenge because blacks and Filipinos sometimes look all alike to me. I mean, all the Filipinos look alike or all the blacks look alike. I have to work hard at it. This is Vika Lynn. Mikkel can tell you more of her story, but basically she's abandoned. And so Mikkel's been trying to help her out. He just made an offhanded statement here about a year and a half ago that said he'd just like to take her home with him. And they took him literally. And if their adoption processes through the Philippines was easier, she'd be in the States now. But you want to pray for her. She has tuberculosis. And, so that's kind of a challenge. And she's taking medicine for that right now. Yeah. But pray for her. Was she 10? Yeah, 10 years old. Just a sweet gal. So here we are. You can kind of get it. Whoops, let's backtrack here a second. You kind of get an idea of what the place is like. It was a thatch roof building that we were in. It was kind of at a resort. I think it was Del Mar Resort or something like that. Del Mar means by the sea, or Del Rosa or something. But here's Alma. She's taking notes. Steve Doty's preaching, and Alma was getting the notes from every message that she possibly could. Alma, as you know, had I think it was a hysterectomy. Last year, we helped finance that, and her health has greatly improved, and she's very grateful. She wants to extend her thanks and appreciation to the congregation here for the financial help and for all the prayers. She was very, very afraid to do that operation, and we had to encourage her quite a bit. But she's just been greatly blessed ever since then. And her health is really good. She just says she has occasional hot flashes. So if that helps, Lynn, you know, it helps. This, of course, is Dante Aguinaldo. This is Crispin Ganier. Crispin's a teacher in Surratt National High School. What I appreciate about Dante and the way he's working, he saw how we did things. He's trying to imitate it. He's trying to do a really solid foundation. Laying in there, help people get the concepts of the new creation, the gospel of glory, worship. And he has Crispin do a lot of teaching. So it isn't one of the problems we got in the Philippines is the only guys that do anything are preachers. See, and so we're having, you know, of course, a lot of the guys that weren't preachers become preachers, you know, which is good in that sense. But the other side is we've got to try to get more spread out just a little bit more. We don't have an American missionary in the Philippines. And like Steve was really bringing out, see, it's the association of the people with the American missionaries that makes a big difference. See, it's just some things we take for granted in the United States of America that we really shouldn't. You know, one is our educational level, even though it's declined quite a bit, is still comparatively high. And, you know, we're actually able to get the deeper concepts of the Scripture through a lot easier in the United States of America than other places. And so American missionaries do provide a lot of leadership and can provide a lot of leadership. Don't have that directly in the Philippines. So it's harder work. It's taken longer to get some of those things through. Their hearts are good. Their desire is good. It's just going to take more communication. And that would be something you could pray for. There's June Makusi. It was through June Makusi that the whole thing in the Philippines happened. It was her his daughter, Wilma, that died. I really appreciate June. You know, he's over the years, he's been an open-minded guy. Remember the first time Gary and I were there, I forget what Gary said. We were having the evening. It's all Gary's fault. And but Gary said something, and all of a sudden we ended up having this discussion on worship, which Gary remembers, I'm sure. And all of a sudden June got up and ran out of the room crying. And so the next morning I met him in the chapel, as they call it, and I told him, I said, well, you know, if you want, we'll just, you know, pack our bags and we'll go back to the United States if it's not going to work for us to be here. And he said, well, I only have a sixth grade education. There's many things I don't understand. No, you stay. And so what was three congregations in 2002 and maybe 60 people max is now somewhere around 20 or 25 congregations. 200 of which came to family camp. And that's all been since 2002. So, you know, again, the progress is great and the challenge is great in your prayers. June and his wife, Anastasia, they really enjoyed family camp. Usually what they have is a standard Church of Christ lectureship. Well, who wants to come to a lectureship? Who gets to have any fun at a lectureship, see? But at family camp, hey, that, you know, and they had a game one night where they, you know, they were supposed to be taking notes of the preaching and the teaching and the speaking. And so each of us that had taught something submitted, you know, 3 to 5 questions. And I know Miss Christner did an excellent job because the ladies, you know, snapped those questions off. I must have failed in mine because I asked, you know, because I had a session with the men, and the question I asked is, says, if a husband loves his wife, he will blank to her. And they couldn't get the answer to that question. Couldn't. Finally, it was somebody that wasn't even in the class, a guy that's engaged to be married. He knew what the answer was. So listen, you know, if a husband loves his wife, he listens to her. None of the Filipino men got that. I just failed in my delivery, I guess, over that. But, you know, they have fun things like that. Here's a great picture of Mikkel teaching the young people there. You know, they had kind of little tent areas set up. One thing about the Philippines is you know, noise is pretty customary. And so, you know, they get by with more noise. It's a little bit challenging for them because sometimes the speakers were pointed right at this from the men's class. And they didn't turn the speakers off. So they had their challenges, but they made it through. Here's Chantel working with the young people. Chantel just does a super job with kids, and you know, she gets everybody all fired up and excited and everything. Great. And here's Jill teaching the ladies. Jill did a great job, and you could tell that the ladies, they really learned about present positive affirmative. See? So good job, Miss Christian. And then here's Steve Doty preaching. Steve and I carried the bulk of the preaching load, both to the men's classes and then for everybody in general. And preaching, teaching sometimes five lessons in one day, which is a pretty good load. And Steve's, I mean, he's a sharp guy, and he does a great job. I think they had a little trouble one time translating, freaking out. His messages and mine really dovetail. I mean, he does a lot on the Old Testament shadows and the pictures they create, and I come in a little bit more with the New Testament, direct New Testament side. And so, you know, the combination was really good. The attitude of the family camp there was great. You know, many, many more people want to come back. Like I say, Monroe is translating for him. Monroe does a great job. You know, if Steve gets excited, Monroe gets excited. I mean, you know, whatever Steve does, Monroe does. Just here's Christopher lecturing to the young people. Here's Sheila May. She's 23. She's a teenager. And more of them. But great job there. And once again, it was a real blessing having the team there. It really made the whole family camp go. And so, once again, sometimes the things that we as Americans can take for granted really don't. I mean, we have so much talent, so much ability just right in this room here that the rest of the world would just, you know, just love to parcel us up and take us out, you know, and have us work for them. We had to run this and buy the editorial board. As you know, I had one shirt and I'd already worn it for 5 days straight. And for some reason, the Filipino showed up with a couple more shirts. I don't understand what their problem was. And so this was one. And so I'm over speaking to some of the young people there. There's Christian Ganier here. I see him. And some of these guys are their late teens, early 20s. You know, this is a teenage group. And once again, you know, it was a great time. I really enjoyed sharing with them there. I told them the story there of the Ark of the Covenant. Just a group of, there's kids all over. One of the things you want to remember, in all these third world countries, the average age is 15. Half your population is 15 and below. That contrasts the United States, where it's like about 27. So there's a huge difference, and you know, that's why the, you know, world's population continues to burgeon, you know, over 6.5 billion. Again, just to try to get a perspective on this, I can remember when the Earth's population was approximately 2 billion. See, just in my lifetime, the world's population has more than tripled, and it's currently doubling at the rate of every 27 years. So you have to try to put a perspective on those things and the size of the challenge and why our focus has to really be outward and how we really have to work as a team and how we have to think in terms of sacrificing together to make big things happen. And it does take a tremendous amount of sacrifice and does take a tremendous amount of work. These kids are worth it. You know. Here's Meng Lee. That's Monroe's second daughter. She's finishing up work in nursing. She and her older sister have her joy. They're actually going through college together. We've been helping them out financially. Then they're going to come to the U.S. If God so wills. And then, you know, of course, what Monroe would like is he'd like for them to get married to an American Christian here in the United States so that then they can continue to have family ties back to the Philippines. Okay. But just once again, very super. Mikkel and Chantel had the opportunity to spend a couple extra days with them further south and just had a great time and appreciated the fact that Mikkel and Chantel went down there and worked with them. They had so many people come that they actually hired this bus And I think that's a 50-passenger bus. I tried to count the seats on it. There were about 70 on board. And so when they're going back, for example, the women, the kids are seated and the men are going to stand, for about the 6-hour trip it's going to take them to get back. So they want to be there. They basically had to do the same thing coming up. So you appreciate it. Here's Monroe. I thought this was kind of, I just wanted this picture because it got to what me was the right perspective on his looking out for the flock. And Vicka Lynn was seated right about here, wasn't she? Yeah. Waving goodbye as the bus rolled out. These guys got to go down to the beach and frolic a little bit in the sun down there. So this is one of the pictures. On Lord's Day, family camp finished about noon on Saturday. So Lord's Day, we split up. We went to Dingross, and that was Christopher and Chantel and I. And Jill and Mikkel went with Steve Doty down to stayed at Batak. And then in the afternoon, we all came back together at Lawag City to preach in this place. There's about 6 preachers working here in the city of Lawag. I think Lawag's about 1.5 miles, as near as I can tell. So far, 3 years, 6 preachers, no converts. And it's because, as soon as you go into an urban area, you're going to have to use to go make the disciples, immerse the disciples, continue to teach the method. It's universally true in urban areas across the world. And so I've been trying to communicate that to them, that that's what they got to do. So far, the whole message isn't getting through, but keep praying that it will. We then headed for the airport. We're just about ready to leave. Daniel Laurel, he wanted in this picture, so he ran in there real quick, got the picture snapped. We're ready to head for the airport. Well, we think we're about ready to fly. However, we are not ready to fly. And so we're going to have our adventure before we get back. So that picture's a little out of focus. I guess that's because we all were. That point. This is the kind of the building here where the thatch roof, open building where the meeting took place. I kind of sat on the other side here. There's kind of benches along the side with chairs in the middle. And I usually sat on the other side over here. And then the rest of the crew, Mikkel, Chantel, Jill, Christopher, they all sat over here. Well, on Friday night, Mikkel, he gets up and he makes an announcement. He said something to the effect that the most beautiful, most caring, the sweetest girl in the world, he just asked her to marry him. And everybody applauded, and then he sat down. And finally somebody in the audience said, "Well, what did she say?" So he had to stand up and said, "She said yes." It was quite a time. It was to use Jill's word, I think it was a shock. Remember, it's a December to remember. But I thought it was fitting to close the presentation with this picture instead. Life is great. Well, any questions anybody has? Mel. What happened to my coat? Well, it was generally in the high 80s. I actually lost my coat. It's either in Africa or it was taken out of my luggage. So, but I did have it. Actually, you really need it sometimes. If you're driving on a tricycle and I like to have it on the airplane because they turn the air conditioner on those things so cold that you like to have it. But no, no coat, Mel. Huh? No. What's that? I can preach without the coat. Yet, Tom, I can nail sinners at 400 paces without a coat. So, other questions? Well, I really appreciate your kind attention and once again, the fellowship that we're building. So we've got to remember, we can text message these guys. We can email these guys. See, our world has really shrunk. And so we want to pray really hard. It's very challenging. The loss of value in the U.S. dollar is of tremendous effect. If, for example, we were sending Dante $600 a month 3 years ago, that's only worth $400 today. See, the U.S. dollar has lost that much value. So, see, the challenge once again is for us, as long as God lets us have the resources to actually have to increase our giving. The Hofstetter mission, you know, they perpetually run behind. You can't, you know, Jeff lost so much support over the years from the normal Christian churches that, that sometimes he's kind of desperate, see. So I really want to encourage you guys to pray that God will open up the windows of heaven. We've been able, by the grace of God, through this congregation, to finance quite a bit of the mission effort. And we want to continue to do that. And, you know, personally, I thank you guys for just, you know, continuing to contribute, you know, tithes and offerings, special things that you do make a huge difference. And the effort is greatly multiplied. But continue to spread the word that those are things that we need to continue to do, as well as continue to finance our own in-state operations. You know, church in Billings, for example, it's really interesting how some of these kings come full circle. But they actually financed the church at Fumasia to purchase property. And Opoku over there sent his thanks to the church in Billings. I've been trying to talk Luke into going to Ghana for the family camp next year, because he was there 1 year and he really knows a lot of the younger guys. See, these things just, you know, they're huge. I mean, and sometimes you just want to remember, even though they're in a different country, you know, our fellowship with them can be just as tight as it can with each one of us. You know, it really can be. If Mikkel and I are sitting in Monroe's living room, we don't feel any less comfortable there than in the living room in the United States. And our fellowship is great. And so put these guys on your prayers and help us continue to finance. And we're, you know, that's an area with the value of the dollar dropping. Our own personal challenges are going to increase. And so we just want to pray then that God can work with us and do extra for us so that we can keep funneling the finances where they need to go.